I have a message to share about God's counsel and about hearing him and obeying him. Okay, you ready? It's a good word, isn't it? I thought so. This is my good friend. Okay, well, I'll try to get this off now. Shh. Oh, well. Okay. The Lord had given me a word about a month ago about the river. What he said was, stay in the river. So, okay, stay in the river. In the river, you are on a narrow path and you're walking. Even as the children of Israel, they saw the river ahead of them, but there were different opportunities. When they saw the river, it was a hindrance, and then God opened up the river. When the children of Israel walked into the promised land, they stood on stones and they went across the river. So the whole point that the Lord was speaking, he's been speaking to me about the river, which is part of the reason why I invited Billy Bass today. But the thing is that if you go off the river, out of the river, you're going to be on these little tributaries, and you're going to end up outside of the way that the Lord wants to bless you and keep you and what he wants to do in your life. So stay in the river. That's the main functioning word here. Don't go into the tributaries that lead to dryness and death and defeat. Keep your heart open to hear what the life-giving Spirit is saying to the church. Unbroken fellowship and unbroken communion. That's what we want. Unbroken fellowship and unbroken communion. And you know, when you see your life and your situations and what you're involved in with the eyes of God, and you need to see with his eyes, that's the main thing, is you're able to function within the set of circumstances and see what God is doing. Because if you look with your natural eyes, you may fall prey to complaining and all those other things. But you need to be really grateful and thank God. I picked up a book that I've been reading for about a year, not consistently, called 1,000 Gifts. And the chapter that I turned to, she had a divine revelation and an encounter with the Lord. She was trying to catch the moon. Was it? Just about dusk, and the moon was there. She was running, trying to catch the moon. And God started to speak to her about the way he sees the moon, and about when his eye, when she can see what he's doing, then she can walk in joy, because she immediately walked in such joy and light at that moment. God just touched her. And then she had 6 kids, and the kids ran out, and they were also, they live on a farm, were trying to catch the moon. So her and her kids were all trying to do the same thing. But God was speaking to her about his eye. So this message is from Psalm 32, which I'm going to read. You know, I always talk to you about repentance, confessing your sins, keeping short accounts. And the reason for that is because you miss the blessing when you're in sin. Every which way. And sometimes the way before you looks crooked because you're not seeing things straight because you're not totally cleansed. So it has to do with attitudes and actions and the way you treat the other people in your family and how you move in your neighborhoods and what you're known for in the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? At work, who when they look and they think about you, what are they thinking about you? So it's very important that you keep a clean slate, because when you make mistakes, God comes right, puts you right back on course. He does. That's how beautiful he is. So I'm going to read this in the Amplified. But the main verse is, I will instruct you and teach you what the Lord said. He talked to me about him being my counselor. So that's why I invited Billy Bass, because his counsel is good. Stay in the river and don't worry. That's basically the whole point. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And that was what captured me when I read the scripture. With my eye upon you, I will counsel you, which means that he is watching you. He's watching over you, and he's right there to give you the tools and the way to use the tools from the kingdom. Okay, Psalm 32. Blessed is he who has forgiveness of his transgression continually exercised upon him, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was upon me heavy. My moisture turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. I love this. Continually unfolding the past until all is told. And then you instantly forgave my guilt and the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, when the great waters of trial overflow, they shall not reach the spirit in him. You are a hiding place for me. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. Selah. I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have their mouths held firm with bit and bridle, or else they will not come with you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord shall be compassed about with mercy and loving kindness. Be glad in the Lord, you who are upright. Shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. 11 simple verses that have such a powerful impact. So the Lord says, I will instruct you. There's three different parts of this specific psalm and this specific verse. I will instruct you and I will teach you. Instruction and teaching are not exactly the same. Teaching means instructing, besides just the instruction, teaching means giving you the understanding so that you can follow and obey the instruction. So it has to do with understanding and receiving in your own being what God is trying to say. I will counsel you. You know, Pastor Roy and I work very hard to keep our lives clean and to bring a message every week and bring worship, whatever it is the Lord is speaking. And we do preach the whole gospel. But, you know, we also need God to confirm to us that what we're sharing is his truth. So there was a number of ways that God spoke to me very clearly in confirmation that I was supposed to speak about his counsel today, this specific one being the book I was reading yesterday. And last night, as I was going to sleep and just meditating in the scripture, the Lord said, I am the mighty counselor. For unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9:6, the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He's so amazing. So I went to sleep very peacefully, woke up, said, oh, I got to find out where that is this morning, and I did find it, Isaiah 9. He is a wonderful counselor. The Lord is the great overseer whose eye and providence overlooks everything. So we are the sheep of his pasture, right? We follow his guidance and his wisdom, what he speaks to us from his word and from the teachers that are in our lives. I will teach you which is the way that you may find it, as well as show you how to keep the way once you are in it. He will teach us so that we can walk in wisdom and not stray or sleep. This is what God does for us, right? So the second part is instruction so that the understanding will be clear, like I said, and deduced into a belief. There's a moving of God's Spirit in our hearts when he is giving us instruction and teaching us that causes our faith to rise up and receive with truth what he's saying. It doesn't mean, and I'll just share this, God has been speaking this to me for months. It's not that you're not in a difficult situation. You don't deny that there's problems. You don't, you know, oh, no, I'm fine. No, no, no. What it is that you're a little bit of faith. You're in a circumstance. Let's say you find yourself in a pool and you're drowning. And you have a little bit of faith. You're saying, the Lord is my refuge and strength. Lord, help me. And somebody would throw you a life preserver. A life preserver. That's pretty cool. So it means that God will send you something to help you out of the situation that you're in. Your little bit of faith will connect you to the promise and the word from the Lord so you can get out of it and see from God's eyes what's going on in your life. You understand? It's not that the situation is going to immediately change and everything's going to be rosy and wonderful. It just means that he's right there with you. He'll give you instruction. He'll give you counsel. He'll give you the teaching. And he'll send you, he will create a way to escape. If it's an evil, horrible thing, you need to find out what the truth of the word says about the situation you're in and begin to speak and declare what God says about the situation. That's the key. It's not that it's going to, and it should change. It should change. Because as you continue to walk in faith and believe God, he will begin to move because he loves you. And you will be increased because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yes? Yes. Then in the last words of the text, the third part, I will guide you with my eye. Jesus promises to guide us with his eye. There's an establishment and a confirmation in our spirits by an incessant watchfulness by God himself. He will not leave us or forsake us. He does not leave us to contingencies. He does not leave us to fortune and fortune tellers and no, not even to his general providence, because all of us are children of God. But those of us who come and say yes to Jesus, there's a special dispensation of grace that we receive. Otherwise, why would we follow him? God moves providentially to his children, but most of the time it's to draw them into his presence, draw them to the place to say yes to Jesus. But he will study us and consider us, and that with his loving eye. The eye is the sharpest and the most sensible organ and instrument. So with that eye, he orders things to be rectified. That's where the scripture in Romans 8:28 talks about we want to be conformed to his image. And that's his desire for us, is that we would be conformed to his image. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. To those that love him, that they be conformed to the image of his son. That's God's design and the desire. So this desire for God to love us, instruct us and teach us and guide us with his eye, it has a relational importance which is connected to us and to our future. So there's a constancy and a perseverance of God's goodness. God's good. God is good. Let me say that again. the constancy and perseverance of God's goodness. God is always moving. He's always good. His desire is always to bless, always to fill, especially his body. So there's that on the periphery, on the outskirts. He's constantly trying to display his glory. I could tell you story after story. I've shared a lot of how God drew me to finally bring me to be so broken before him. I sobbed in front of this cross, this tree that was upside down. I said yes to the cross. People who don't know Jesus, who are thinking they're good or they're wonderful and they're going to talk about the universal flim flam wop wop. No. It's like Billy Bass talking to you. It's on a plaque. It's this dead fish on a plaque. But there's a Jesus. You got to go through the door. So if you're talking to somebody, they have to go through the door. They can't go around. They're like sheep stealers if they do that. They're like walking around. Oh, let's go this way. No. You have to come in through the door. So he promised that he will guide us with his eye. The eye of God cannot be put out. And we cannot be put out of his sight or his care. Psalm 73:24 says, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Counsel is advice and instruction. Ephesians 1:17-23, Pastor Roy was talking about the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. We need to hear and understand, that's why we study the scriptures, the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. That is what buoys up our faith, and that's what fills our hearts. It's a measurable, matchless grace that we get filled with the fullness of the Godhead, filled with all in all. Sometimes you think you're a little empty. Well, start speaking. Well, no. I'm filled with the fullness of God. An immeasurable, matchless grace fills me. And I'm able to endure anything because of his love for me and his goodness and his desire for me to do well. The God of our Master Jesus Christ will grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, so that we can see exactly what it is he is calling us to do. His inheritance. I've been studying about God's inheritance. I said, Lord, okay, because in Psalm 37 it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall receive his inheritance. I said, okay, what's your inheritance? So what is the inheritance? The inheritance of God is Jesus and the fullness that he has won for us, that we can walk in his kingdom, in his glory. We have the unlimited and immeasurable and surpassing greatness of God, his power in us who believe. So we have to believe. What are you believing? I think for a year we did songs about not being afraid. And then for another year we did songs about believing. You know, what you believe, and if you don't believe something, you need to speak it until you do believe it. That's what meditation is. You know, the Jewish faith, they call it davening, you know. They go back and forth. They keep saying the same word over and over and over again, you know. Without the Holy Spirit inside of that, thank God, you know, they have a measure of faith because Jesus loves the Jewish nations. But they don't have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God don't come into your heart until you invite him in. There is a thing you need to do. You need to acknowledge that he's the Son of God, that you're a sinner, and I need help. Endless energy, boundless strength, and all this energy issues from Christ, who is in charge of running the universe. I find tremendous comfort in that. He's running the universe. He can certainly take care of my little problems, right? He has a final word on everything. And at the center of this, Christ rules the church. Christ rules the church. And we are the church. And he has promised to give us his counsel in all things and to watch over us. So this is right out of the word. I didn't write down where it was, but it's in Ephesians somewhere. It says, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Who is that? His body. It's us. Peripheral means related to the issue, but not essential. So the world is what's peripheral. The world is not essential to the church and the teachings of Christ and the reality of the living God who lives. The earth is his footstool. So the world has it backwards. They're looking at the church and thinking, big deal for the church. But you know what? The church is Christ's bodies, and that body, and that's you and me. We are the church. We are Christ's body. What you do in your life, how you act, what you speak, what you believe has an impact wherever you are, wherever you live. You impact the vicinity that surrounds you. I can tell you story after story, even people on my block that I have not actually witnessed to, but because when I walked around many, many years ago and still walk my little doggy here and there, prayers went up for every household, every head of the household, my neighbors, all of these people. And still, I still pray for those that I am friends with and those that I'm not, because I know that my prayers are heard. Did you hear me? I know that my prayers are heard. God hears me when I cry. God hears me when I lift up my voice in worship. I love that song, Multiplied by Lauren Daigle, because that's what I hear. The minute I lift up my voice in praise, I hear the heavenly chorus. And we're all praising God. And that other that we used to sing about, the song over here and in Africa and India, all of this worship. And it goes around the clock because the earth is circling, right? It's not about us trying to make us that we can pray and every party, you know, I have to pray 24 hours. Somebody is praying somewhere, every moment. And let me tell you something. There is a remnant, there is a body, the true body of Christ. You know when you meet them. There's a spiritual connection that they are walking with the same Christ that you're walking with. And there's a witness. There's a witness. So, the church is what's central, not the world. The church and the body, who is us? You have an impact wherever you go. Remember that. So, what is God's counsel? What is God's counsel? You think about, well, what is God's counsel? Well, Paul shared the whole counsel of God, the whole will of God, the whole purpose of God, and that he spoke the complete and the full gospel. He took rest, even when he was in prison, in that fact that he taught the whole gospel. He also knew that there would be, you know, enemies coming in trying to steal and rob, and we have had some of them in our midst who have stolen and robbed, teachers who have done other things other than what the true gospel talks about. But he warned them. He said, I'm teaching you the whole gospel of Christ. I'm teaching the whole counsel of the word so that you will have everything you need to overcome every situation. He also revealed to them the mystery of God, which is Ephesians 3:9, which is, I believe, Christ within the hope of glory. That is the mystery. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 7 reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God breathed. Everything in, I have a lot of Bibles on my Kindle, I have other books too, but everything in the Word of God is God breathed. God breathed on it. So maybe the next time you open that Bible, start reading it, you'll think, oh, God's breath is on this very Word. It's alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts through. There it goes. How's that? Is that better? Whatever happened, it started pulling up. So I was like, uh-oh. Okay. Cuts through to where the soul and spirit meets. And the body, right? The word of God heals the body. God heals me every morning. When I rise up, I say, Jesus, there are things that are going on in my body that I don't want to give place to. So I get up, I say, Lord, you know, when I was waking up this morning, he said to me, I'm going to heal your bones. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed and spoken, all my bones shall say, there is none like you. I have arthritis in my bones, that's the truth. But all my bones shall say, there is none like you. And God spoke to my heart this morning. He said, I'm going to heal all your bones. I'm going to heal all your disease. Anything that's in your body is only due to old age, and I am getting older. God bless you. I don't care, because Moses was very old. And he did well. And again, that's us. Start, you know, like getting out of our car. He said it this morning. It's a little bit more difficult this week than it was last week. And last week I was having trouble getting out of the car because it's low, you know, like you got to get up. But we laugh and we say, okay, Lord, all my bones shall say there's nothing like you. So see, I have a promise from God. And now I have a confirmation and an affirmation that he spoke to my heart. What is he going to do for me? So I'm going to skip and tiptoe through the tulips. I'm also doing things. I'm eating well. I'm doing my exercises every night. And I have a little trampoline that I go out and do workout on. You know, we have to take care of ourselves too, right? Okay. All scripture is given by, given by inspiration of God. God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, do we have to read our Bibles? Yes, we do. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots and bear fruit. Isaiah 11:1-10 talks about the seven spirits of God. And in the middle of those seven spirits is the spirit of counsel and might. So the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He's the voice of God on the earth. The seven spirits of God shall rest upon him. On who? Who are the seven spirits of God resting on? Who is this man that is the descendant of Jesse? Who is it? It is Jesus. Just trying to see if you're awake. Yes, it's Jesus. These spirits shall rest on him. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. The spirit of wisdom, revelation, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit that instills knowledge and the fear of God, the reverential fear of God. There are times that maybe you need to just start worshiping, and in that worship, God will change your heart so you can obey him. The life-giving spirit will hover over him, the spirit that brings wisdom, understanding, the spirit that gives direction and builds strength. That's the spirit of counsel. The spirit that gives direction and builds strength. The spirit that instills knowledge and the fear of God. When we bow and worship and revere the living God, we come under his protection. Psalm 71:3 reads, God is a sheltering stronghold, a habitation, a strong habitation, to which I may continually resort. Why do you have to continually resort to the strong habitation? Because you're human and you're weak. And your flesh wants what it wants. So we have to submit and get into that place where the strong habitation speaks to us and causes us to be obedient. Another version says, be a guest room that I can go to as often as I like. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations, once again, the counsel of the world. He frustrates the plans of peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. That's Psalm 33:8. He is sovereign. Hebrews 6, 17 to 20 reads, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Are you an heir of promise? Raise your hand if you're an heir of promise. He wants to show you, what, three of us? Oh, okay. The rest of you are sleeping? Good job. Okay. I see that hand. I see that hand. He shows to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath. God's counsel and his oath. God made his counsel and his oath to be in agreement with himself. He did not make an agreement with Abraham. He put Abraham to sleep. You remember when Abraham set up the sacrifice. I love this. He walked through the pieces, but God put a deep sleep on him. So who walked through the pieces and made the promise and the oath? It was God. He's the one that did it. So once again, we are dependent on the goodness of God. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Who lies? That's right. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Jesus went into the veil and opened the way. He died, he was raised, that veil was rent so that we could go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies. Isaiah 46, 8 to 10. Remember this and stand firm. Before I read this, which is the last verse and scripture I'm going to be sharing, this scripture from Hebrews 6, 17 to 20, as I was reading it and studying it and meditating on the Holy Spirit, said read Romans 4. So I opened up Romans 4 and started to read Romans 4. Romans 4 is an amazing chapter of scripture. It talks about Abraham also. Talks about Abraham believing in the promise and staggering not at the promise. So the Holy Spirit said to me, this is the picture. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was 99 years old. And yet God had promised him that he would be the father of many nations. So in the natural, right, it wasn't going to happen. But see, he chose to take the faith that he had and believe that what God said was going to happen. So that's what we do. But he had a word from the Lord, not only in the scripture, but he also heard from God. God spoke to him very clearly one night, showed him the stars in the heavens, and said, this is going to be your descendants. But Abraham left his country and took a walk, and he kept walking. He had a journey. He kept walking. So we are walking also until he came to that place. And even when everything looked like it wasn't going to happen, he still believed God. He still believed God. And he had to continue to believe God. Every town that he went to, he had to believe God. Every way he went, he had to believe God. Every time he lied, he had to go back, repent, and believe God. Because he did make a lot of mistakes, didn't he? So, but he was still believing God. And I always think of this. I always think when he had Isaac, because he did have the baby. And what an amazing miracle that was. A baby. He had a baby. He tried to do it, and it's a perfect example of him trying to do it on his own and having Ishmael. Although God made promises to Ishmael, so you better be careful when you start condemning. God made promises to Ishmael and to his descendants. Anyway, he had Isaac, son of promise. Then, think about being Abraham, and you have to walk up to the place of sacrifice, the altar, with your son. I have put my children on the altar, so I understand a little bit of what happened to Abraham, although I didn't actually have to tie my kids and pick up a knife, but I did release them, continue to release them to the Lord, continue to trust God to take care of them. But he put his son on the altar. Because on the way up, Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? Well, when we get there, that's what Abraham said, when we get there. So he tied his son to the altar, the son of promise. And he was ready to plunge the knife into his heart. You know, I believe that Abraham believed that even if he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead. Because he believed God. He knew what God said. Again, this is the faith. This is the faith at work. But think about it. I might have shared this before. What if Abraham was not walking with God? And what if Abraham was not listening and having that intimate communion and fellowship with God and didn't hear God say, don't kill your son? But because he was walking with God and he was listening, he stayed his hand and his son was spared. So he had a lot of faith and a little faith at different times, but that faith attached to the promises of God is what raised him up into the kingdom and caused him to be able to walk and manifest the presence of the Lord everywhere he went and receive the blessings of the Lord. Isaiah 46:8-10. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors, and remember the former things of old. There are ancient paths. There are places in the Psalm where it talks about ancient paths. There are ancient paths in the Word. There are ways that we need to live our lives that have been there for since the beginning of time, that have been there since Adam and Eve in the garden. They have been there since God created the heavens and the earth. Those ancient paths, those ancient truths, we need to grab a hold of them and walk with them. And not listen to the world, which is on the periphery, but listen to the King, who is the King over the church, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the magnificent, omnipotent God who loves us and is good. Remember the former things of old. I am God. And there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring from the end and from the beginning and from the ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Wonderful promise. I will accomplish all my purpose. I will accomplish all my purpose. I will give you my counsel with my eye upon you. I will teach you and instruct you. I will guide you with my eye upon you. I will give you the counsel that you need to make the decisions that are ahead of you. We can trust that God will speak to our hearts and give us what we need, wherever we are. You know, you're all missionaries, right? John is a missionary to India, but you are all missionaries to your neighborhoods. You're all missionaries to your families. And what are you displaying? Are you displaying the glory of God to them? Or are you, is yourself ruling and showing them the lesser side of yourself? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have been spoken to tonight, today. I thank you for speaking to me all through the nights this week and declaring your sovereignty and your abundant grace. Father, we continue. I lift up every family here and every family that's part of this body that's not here, that your blessings and your goodness would reign in their lives, that you will answer the cries of their hearts, and that you will establish your kingdom in their homes. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us from your word, that you are a constant gathering force to bring us into the kingdom, that your job and your desire is to gather us into your arms. So we thank you for that safe place. I pray a blessing over my people today, in your people, in Jesus' name. Amen.